CoOptimus.com presents the CoOpticast.
Hey, and welcome to another installment of the CoOpticast. This is episode 29 for Sunday, October 18th, 2009. I'm Mike, I'm here with Nick, and we are here to talk about this week's co-op news. How you doing, Nick?
I am exhausted.
I hear ya. It's been an interesting weekend.
Yeah, I was on baby duty all day Saturday by myself.
Oh.
And then all day today was cleaning the house and moving stuff into storage and painting and cleaning and painting and cleaning.
So. Yeah. I was cleaning a bunch of stuff up this morning, and then we had a lovely run-in with a cat that decided to get sick and all sorts of fun things. But luckily enough, since the last time we recorded, I believe both of us have had time to game. So, Nick, what you been playing?
Been playing a little bit of stuff. Not as much as I'd like, obviously, with everything that's out. But been playing some Brutal Legend, which, as you know, I'm not quite thrilled with. But I think the saving grace of it is the writing and the story. So... Also been playing some Operation Flashpoint 2 on both the PC and 360. And that's the game I wanted Arma 2 to be, for sure. I'm really enjoying it. I played some co-op with Jim before our review went live, and that was some good stuff. So fans of that kind of open world tactical shooter definitely should check it out. And finally, I've been playing some Dawn of War 2: The Last Stand. That was the free DLC that Relic released, the three-player co-op survival mode. And so, good stuff there.
It's really good stuff. I played that for the first time on our co-op night that we had just 2 days ago. And, oh my god, is that a fun mode.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm always a big fan of the Eldar and the Dawn of War games, and being able to run around as the Farseer and zap people with lightning bolts and make them explode is really damn entertaining. I've been playing some stuff too. Most notably, I played the entirety of Uncharted 2, which is for most people, is probably going to be a really strong contender for Game of the Year, and I'm going to have a hard time finding a way to argue against that. So, it's absolutely worth the price of admission for the single-player stuff. I've yet to delve into the co-op, although I've played some of it in the multiplayer betas, but damn, is that game pretty.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
The writing in it is just light years beyond what you see in most other games. My high standard for writing in games is usually going back to Planescape Torment, even though it's all text.
Right.
Just the quality of the story and the level of detail and everything. Just Naughty Dog is really, really good at what they do with Uncharted. So I hope it does well. I hope a lot of people play it. After all those high points, I went back to delve into MMO land and played some more WoW and trying out Ion, which is actually really damn fun. Some friends of mine convinced me to drop in and play it. It's really pretty, and oddly enough, it's a Korean-developed game, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did you know it runs on the CryEngine?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I was like, what's a Crytek logo doing in front of this CryEngine? What?
Wow.
Yeah, but it's really pretty, and runs really well, if you like MMOs, you'll probably try it out anyway. And, as I already said, been playing some Dawn of War 2, The Last Stand, and, man, I love that game so much. It's like a gift that keeps on giving, and they announced, an expansion pack for it, which means that, next year I get more Dawn of War 2. And that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and the rumor is on that expansion is that the co-op is actually going to be expanded to more players. So that'll be awesome.
That would be awesome. That would be very awesome, actually. I need to pause a minute and reflect upon how much more awesome Dawn of War 2 would be if there was four-player co-op.
Right. I mean, we got our three players now in the last stand, so it's only one more to get to that magical four.
Yeah, four is the magic number, not two, as some people would contend. I don't remember who said that, but I didn't like it when they did.
Heathens say that.
Yes, heathens. Godless heathens say things like that. So anyway, let's move on to this week's news, where we discuss many things, and I will probably rant against a couple of these headlines. First up, the demo details for Left 4 Dead 2 came out. If you pre-ordered the game on 360 or PC, you will be getting access to the demo on October 27th. If you did not pre-order the game, or you have Xbox Live Gold, you'll get it on November 3rd. And everyone else, and that pretty much just means Xbox Live Silver members, get it on 11/10, also known as the day Modern Warfare 2 comes out, and you're probably not going to give a shit about, you know, the Left 4 Dead 2 demo. I don't know, but I just get that feeling. Anyway, DLC was announced, however nebulously, for Operation Flashpoint 2. They said there's going to be new maps and weapon packs, and that they're planning on supporting the game, and you know, Jim had some complaints about, you know, certain things not being in the retail product, so maybe they will remedy the situation.
Yeah, they had said that they're taking some of the form feedback to heart with the update to it, so hopefully we'll see some of that. The biggest thing that most people have been complaining about is you, in co-op, in single player, you can't choose your weapon loadout. Mm-hmm. It's basically, your loadout is designed for the mission. And then in co-op, you choose a class of guy from the available ones in the squad, and then you're just stuck with whatever the default is for that. It's not too big of a deal, because you can pick up weapons off downed soldiers and stuff. But it is nice from the get-go to just pick what you want and go.
And why can't these tactical shooters, and even stuff like Call of Duty, you know, look back at what Rainbow Six did in its very first version?
Yeah.
You know, you outfitted what you wanted to bring on the mission, and, you know, you could really screw up and bring the wrong stuff and, you know, have a really hard time. But, you know, I liked being able to do that, and I'm actually pretty surprised that, you know, stuff like Fear lets you do it in multiplayer, and something like Operation Flashpoint 2 doesn't. That's kind of weird. I don't know. Anyway, an expansion pack to Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers arrives next week with a bunch of new cards, decks, a few new puzzle missions, and opponents to play against. I believe Mark was saying that there's only three new puzzle missions, and those were his favorite thing about the original game. So he's a little disappointed more wasn't included. But, you know, for about $5, you know, you get what sounds like a pretty substantial expansion to the game. Although there's no online co-op being added, which made Jim shed a tear. Probably Kat, too, because I think she was really into that game as well.
Yeah, I'm still surprised they're not milking that more with selling booster packs and stuff.
Yeah, I think they're looking maybe at Battleforge and how it's not, you know...
Yeah.
You know, everything they had to do to that game to, tweak the business model. And plus, you know, over Xbox Live, selling stuff like that might be a little weird. Anyway, Borderlands has DLC already. You know, that's fantastic. And it has zombies, because, you know, everything needs to have zombies in it to be successful. just look at World at War and the glut of zombie games that have come out, including I Made a Game with Zombies in It. I'm all for, you know, big expansions to already big games, but BioWare did it with Dragon Age. They're going to have day one DLC, and I don't like seeing that. I want a chance to actually experience the game before you tell me, now that you've spent $60, why don't you spend $8 to $10 more and, you know, get a new quest or get some horse armor or whatever they're going to throw at you. It sounds like they're gonna wait a bit to release it, but you never know. There's no date. It could be released the day before the game comes out. Who knows?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's actually a ways off, because Well, Jim was supposed to go to the launch event last night, like a launch party for it, and they were going to show it off there, but 2K said that they wanted to have them hold off because they're going to have a special event just for the DLC.
Ah, well, so, then it must be pretty big.
Yeah.
And zombies.
Yeah. The look of it, though, if you should look at the screenshots, I mean, it's really slick looking. Like, it's not, you know, it's got the style that the game has, and the zombies are a little, almost comic-y, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I really like the look of it, so.
No, I think the DLC will, I think they'll handle it appropriately. I just, you know, I'm a little irked at the Dragon Age situation, so I don't like seeing DLC being announced for games that haven't come out yet. You know,
well, what they just announced that the Dragon Age DLC, they have 2 years of DLC planned for that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's gonna be a $300 game by the time you're done with it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Infinity Ward is continuing its war on, you know, co-op players by saying that campaign co-op ruined the experience in Modern Warfare 2. And I'm going to just call bullshit and say that they couldn't figure out how to make it work right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, slapping another, you know, unnamed soldier into a Call of Duty game is not exactly a hard thing to do, and you don't have to show them in the cutscene. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand why they would cut it. I understand from their artistic point of view, oh, you know, what we're trying to do, this wasn't really it. But the fact that I even give it as an option, you know, I mean, if you say that this is like, you know, this game isn't designed for co-op play, but we include it as an option, I think people would be a little bit easier on them, this, you know, when it's not ideal from what we, you know, what we traditionally look for in co-op.
Right.
But to cut it all together, and I don't know. But from what I hear, though, that the Spec Ops mode is apparently really, really good. Like, the people are saying that the mission stuff that's in the Spec Ops, the variety and just the quick nature of them, that they're a lot of fun. So,
oh, I'm sure they are. It's I just get irked when, you know,
but they never come up with an excuse, basically.
When Treyarch can throw in, you know, campaign co-op in World at War, and all Infinity Ward does is scoff at it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to scoff at it, you know, bring your A game and show them how it's done.
Exactly.
Because right now you just sound arrogant and you're not giving us anything. So, please, campaign co-op, think about it.
Well, you heard what happened when someone mentioned about, like, the zombie mode from it, what one of the Infinity Ward developers did, right?
I believe they completely brushed it off, right?
Yeah, they kind of, like, rolled their eyes and was like, why would we include something like that? Like, kind of, like, talking down to it. It's like, well, guess what? That was really awesome, and you guys need to step up your game and do that as well. So.
Yeah. They don't need a zombie mode, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't mean that, but.
Yeah. But Treyarch's heart was in the right place, and as the secondary Call of Duty studio, they did what they needed to do to make their products stand out from the Infinity Ward stuff. Oddly enough, they chose zombies. But, you know, zombies make everything better. Let's see. Left 4 Dead 2 has a new versus mode called Scavenge that's being added in. It's a new versus mode where survivors are racing against the clock to collect gas cans to power a generator. And, you know, the AI and, you know, the opposing team generally try and, you know, stop it. And sounds really fun. And they also added someone spotted a nebulous realism difficulty added in, which I'm kind of wondering what that is. I don't think they've put any details to that. They just acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah. Advanced is the top difficulty level on the first
expert.
One? Expert. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get harder than that.
Yeah, because expert, it's like if you accidentally friendly fire your teammate, they go down. So, yeah. I don't know. You know, I would hope that the realism difficulty means that if you take any damage from an infected, you get turned and it becomes a versus match. That would be cool. That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sounds fun, but, you know, then again, you know, Left 4 Dead is really fun, and Left 4 Dead 2, by all accounts, is more fun than Left 4 Dead. And, let's see, our last big story is yet another anti-co-op stance taken by a developer. And Naughty Dog said they're going to have DLC for Uncharted 2, but no co-op DLC. And here at Co-Optimus headquarters, we pretty much just, you know, shed a silent tear and moved on, however, you know, reluctantly. To the shorts for this week, there's just a couple stories that don't warrant too much discussion. Left 4 Dead 2's boycott ends because, you know, when you fly, you know, some 15-year-olds or however old those guys were out to Valve and give them, you know, a bunch of swag and say, hey, look how awesome Left 4 Dead 2 is. You know, they're pretty much going to say, oh, we're going to buy this game. Congratulations. Way to stick to your guns. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 had a bunch of DLC characters accidentally revealed. You know, they gave us, they announced Carnage, you know, good old Cletus, you know, coming to MUA 2. But I believe it was a PowerPoint, right? You know, they got sent around, and in the background, you could see Magneto, Psylocke, Cable, Black Panther, and, you know, some other shadowy figures. So you can pretty much count on them showing up in MUA. And Serious Sam HD is bringing back the hippie mode from the original game by way of Super Happy Funtime mode, which includes sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and lemon drops.
The video
and
is
there's
nuts.
Quite an amazing trailer they released for it. I fully suggest that if you're interested at all, you take a look at the trailer we posted about it. So anyway, that's this week's news. And when we come back from the break, we're going to answer a listener question and talk about a bunch of stuff that's coming out.
Hey, this is Nolan North. Make sure to listen to In-Game Chat every week and check them out at ingamechat.net or visit their forums at colonyofgamers.com. These guys rock.
Okay, and we're back from our little break, and we're going to answer a question posed to us on the forums by one Darth Lupus. And he asks us if there has ever been a game that we enjoyed playing more in split-screens co-op than we did online, or, you know, if the reverse is true, if there's any game that we enjoyed playing more online versus split-screen or shared-screen co-op. And, Darth Lupus, yes, actually, I have some stuff for both situations that I would like to share. And, things I like to play online versus split screen are pretty much any first-person shooter game or stuff like Gears of War, where you know, the accuracy is diminished by having a smaller portion of the screen. Like, you don't see as much, and unless you have an enormous screen to play on, you know, the split screen kind of, you know, takes it out of it. And plus, you know, when TVs are widescreen these days, when you cut it in half vertically, it's really awkward, and I don't know, it bugs me. It's like you're playing on, you know, a really, really thin screen, and, you know, when you have to have, you know, some vertical aiming, it's really hard to see stuff that's on top of you. Other things like Halo 3, you know, I like having my big screen to myself because I don't like sharing. But the reverse is also true, and in stuff like, you know, Castle Crashers, Gunstar Heroes, Contra, anything where you're, you know, like playing a beat 'em up and you're sharing the screen, like those, I really like, because, you know, when your buddy punches you in the back or whatever, you know, you can, you know, punch him in the neck and say, hey, stop it, or, you know, anything that's really social, like stuff like Little Big Planet or things like that, that are really fun to play split screen or shared screen, I guess. So Nick, you got anything?
For me, it's like, as much as I hate having the screen smaller in split screen stuff. I prefer playing split screen just because of the social experience. Like, I like having friends over and just sitting in front of the TV and, you know, pounding our way through Halo. Or, you know, like you said, the beat 'em up games are great because mostly they're shared screens, so you're not losing anything on the screen.
Yeah.
But definitely the fact that having someone over and, you know, kind of like a little party kind of thing going on, it's a lot more fun. Like, we were playing Dead Space Extraction last week, and I had a friend over to play that for the review. And, like, you know, there were moments in it where we just, like, kind of, like, we both were kind of jumping, or we both turned to each other to talk about what was going on and stuff. And I think it's something that, like, especially a game like that wouldn't even really work online. It just wouldn't have the same effect as having someone with you there, especially since that game, like, it's all about immersion. There's, you know, stuff coming out of the rear speakers and stuff, and even sometimes he said it. He's like, whoa, what's behind me? And I go, dude, it's the speaker, chill. He's like, damn, 5.1 surround sound. You know, he's not used to playing like that, so. I love online co-op because it lets me connect with, like, my best friend who lives in Colorado, and, you know, we get to play all the time, but it's definitely, it's not the same as when we're there. Like, when we play co-op together, it's like we're always laughing, and, you know, we sometimes we end up to the point of tears from just having such a goofy experience with the co-op, and it's not something that we generally have when we're playing online. And we still have fun, don't get me wrong, it's awesome, but I definitely prefer the split or shared screen over the online.
Yeah, you and pretty much our entire crew on the forums.
Yeah, our forums are very strongly split-screen. A lot of people playing with their wives and things like that, and the game doesn't have it. It's like revolution.
There's going to be an uprising one of these days. But yeah, so, you know, it's really situational. You know, some games work much better over online, some games don't. You know, I think that's a fact pretty much anybody can agree with.
Yeah.
Except people who don't like playing online at all. And those people are weird. And we shun them, though we will gladly, you know, accept them on our forums. So, you know, despite the fact that we kind of blasted through this week's episode, you know, we've got a ton of stuff to tell you is coming out. My God, this is the longest release list I have seen us post in months. So to begin, on October 20th, we have Borderlands, the forum favorite on PS3 and the Xbox 360. Marvel Superhero Squad, which I know nothing about, but it's coming out on the Wii and PS2.
Yeah, I just added that today, actually. It's kind of like a little beat-em-up game, kind of like Marvel Ultimate Alliance without the RPG elements, but it's for kids. It's a kid version of it, basically.
Because Wolverine is kid-friendly.
But there's the cool thing about it, I was reading the bullet points, there's 200 playable characters.
Holy crap. How did we not know about this?
I don't know. It kind of came out of nowhere, so.
Wow. Well, you know, maybe someone will pick that up and take a look at it, but it's for the Wii and the PS2. There's also Backyard Football 2010, also for the Wii and PS2. On the 21st, the PSP version of GTA Chinatown Wars is coming out. And let's see, next week on the 26th, or is that Friday? I don't know. Anyway, on the 26th, we have Serious Sam HD on Xbox Live Arcade. You know, old school, run and gun, kill a bunch of, you know, screaming headless guys with bombs. You know, and bull skeletons and all kinds of weird stuff. And, you know, I can't wait to see that final boss in the HD version, because that was really impressive back in the day. And I imagine it still is, especially with the sense of scale that, you know, we've learned through camera tricks in modern games. On the 27th, the PC version of Borderlands comes out. Yay. Fairy Tale Fights for the PS3 and 360, and DJ Hero for the PS3, 360, Wii, and PS2, so you can get your Daft Punk on. That is a lot of games. lots of co-op, and you know, this fall is really just getting started. You know,
yeah, November's going to have quite a few gems as well.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a gamer, and despite a bunch of stuff getting delayed till 2010, there's still plenty of stuff to play. So, as regular readers of CoOptimist.com know, we have reviews and features and all sorts of news, and they're all universally great. But we'd like to spotlight the stuff from the past 2 weeks. For reviews, Nick hit Raiden 4, and, shoot 'em ups are always great, and Nick, this is one of your favorite series, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely my favorite shoot 'em up series, and it's, for veterans of the series, it's by far the most difficult one. I said shoot 'em up is probably the wrong term for these games, because you're not really shooting things, you're just dodging bullets.
It's bullet hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also reviewed Dead Space Extraction, and you said it was scary as hell.
Yeah.
And disturbing.
Very good. Yes. Oh, I don't want to ruin anything, but very early on in the game, there's a scene as the colony is getting infected, and it is just messed up. I mean, it is... Yeah, it's bad.
Well, one of these days I will have to play it, because I'm a huge Dead Space fan. Operation Flashpoint 2 Dragon Rising, the game that Arma 2 wishes it could have been. Mark did an absolutely stellar review of Scooby-Doo First Frights. I highly recommend checking it out. He did it in character.
Yeah.
It's very very inventive review. And, I decided that I wanted to throw myself before the mass of haters and give the PSP Go a positive review. And you can go read why I tell you that the PSP Go is a really awesome piece of hardware that no one should buy. that's essentially what I say in the review. We had a, with all the new releases out, we haven't had quite as many features, but we put together the ultimate co-op survival guide to, tell you how to, succeed at all the survival type modes you see in games these days, like Firefight, Left 4 Dead Survival, Nazi Zombies, things like that. I highly recommend checking it out. It spurred some good discussion, people offering their own tips. And it's kind of a good compendium for people that don't know all of the different versions of that game type that exists. So, you might find that there's something you want to pick up and try out. We also talked about Knights of the Round in the latest Co-op Classics article. And for Co-op Casual Friday, we discussed Little Big Planet. So, this brings us to the end of the podcast. And it's, it's always sad when we have to let you go for the next 2 weeks. But something that'll warm our hearts is positive feedback on iTunes. Go there and... just tell us what we do for the co-op community. And you can also follow us on Twitter. We are username CoOptimist without the dash. And maybe some big things coming up there soon. I don't know. I just hear things. And, by the chuckling Nick has in the background there, you might consider that a confirmation. So anyway, this has been the CoOpCast. I'm Mike. The guy laughing in the background is Nick. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.